2, which we heard as our call to worship this morning, says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And what we want to see this morning is that John 8, 21 through 30 really proclaims that same message. In fact, already in the last passage, in verses 12 through 20, we heard Jesus saying in so many words, "Now is the day of salvation." He said, "I am the light of the world. Follow me." And we saw last time that the call to follow Christ is the call to believe in Him and to become His disciple. So, how did you do this week? What did you do with the call to discipleship in this past week? Remember that a disciple, we talked about three aspects. A disciple is one who depends upon Christ. A disciple is a student of Christ in the Word of God. And a disciple is one who seeks to imitate Christ for His glory in this world. So, were you an intentional disciple and follower of Christ this week? Did you seek to be a faithful and true disciple of Christ? A bit of follow-up from last week. But now, in verse 21, John writes, "So he said to them again," and the word "again" obviously ties what Jesus said next to what we have already heard Him say in verses 12 through 20. In verses 12 through 20, we heard Jesus say, in essence, "Here I am. Follow me." He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But now in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." And so the effect of these further words is to add the word "now" to his previous call. Not only is Jesus saying, "Follow me," but "follow me now. Don't wait, for soon your life will be over, and it will be too late." So behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And if there are any here this morning who have not yet believed in Christ, if there are any who have not yet joyfully answered the call of Christ to follow Him, then may this be the day of salvation for you. But for all of us together, whether we are new or renewed disciples of Christ this morning, let us hear and understand that we are indeed living in the day of salvation. Yes, the day of salvation refers to this day, May 6, 2012. But it also refers to the time in which we live as disciples of Christ. It refers to every day that we live for Christ following the light of the world. So as we live each day in the day of salvation, and as we daily follow Him, let us also hear, in a sense, the mission statement of Christ found in this passage and heard from the very lips of Christ Himself. And let that be the first point then this morning, the mission statement of Christ. The mission statement of Christ. If this is the day of salvation, how then shall we live? The answer is to take up the mission statement of Christ Himself, a mission statement that we hear in these simple words: "I am going away." If we really think about it, how strange that Jesus, even so early in His ministry, would speak of His departure, of going away. And neither is this just a passing reference. In fact, again, in the last passage, we heard Jesus say, "For I know where I came from and where I am going." but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. And now again, in verse 21, Jesus said, I am going away, and in the same verse, where I am going, you cannot come. So why would Jesus speak so early and so pointedly about going away? Well, as always, we need to understand what Jesus meant by going away. And we get the answer in verse 28. In verse 28, we hear Jesus say, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. Here we come to understand that what Jesus meant by going away was His death, even His death on a cross. And this is why we can identify the words, I am going away, as the mission statement of Jesus, because this is why Jesus had come. He came to go away. He came to die on the cross. And so this was His focus throughout His ministry. Yes, He was busy and diligent in His preaching and teaching. Yes, He had compassion on the sick and the demon-possessed. His miracles were important to His ministry, but even still, throughout His ministry, He was focused on the cross. And here is where we need to see the love of our Lord for us, His people. There's a clear sense in which we can say Christ was born for us. We can say Christ lived for us. And yes, He died for us, but every day, up until the day of His death, He was focused on that day. Every day until the cross, Jesus was heading toward that day. If someone sends you a birthday card, you say, wow, how nice to be thought of. How nice that they took the time to buy a card, fill it out, and mail it. But how much time did that really take? However much time it took, it's still meaningful. But the point here is that Jesus didn't take a moment for us. Jesus didn't take some time out of His busy schedule for us. His whole schedule was for us. He lived His entire life heading toward the day when He would die on the cross for you and me. Have you ever just sat and thought about that? It wasn't that in the end, given that things didn't work out as they might have, given that Jesus was arrested and crucified, that, He might as well die for sinners. The cross was the reason He came. He came to die, and He came to die for you. We need to see the great love of Christ and His love for us throughout His whole life. Because our love for Christ can only be a response to His love for us. It's only when we realize His love for us that we will love Him as our Savior. And it's only as we grow in the knowledge of His love for us that we will grow deeper in our love for Him. And how ironic when Jesus said, verse 21, I am going away, the response of the Jews was, what? Will He kill Himself since He says, where I am going, you cannot come? It's ironic because, yes, He was speaking of His death. They had that much right. But it was ironic as well because Jesus would indeed lay down His life for His own, to use the words that He used two chapters later in John 10. Certainly, Jesus did not kill Himself, as they crassly suggested, but He was speaking of His death, and He was speaking of laying down His life on the cross. Well, we might not be so crass and calloused to suggest that Jesus might have killed Himself, but this I think we might do. It's too easy for us to turn a blind eye to the fullness of Christ's love for us. He knew that He was going away. Even more, he knew that he would be lifted up. We know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the anticipation of the cross was a terrible burden for Christ, so much so that his sweat was like drops of blood, we are told. And he even prayed that if it be possible, this cup might pass from him. But throughout his life as well, Christ carried this burden for us. It was his mission to die for sinners, and his unwavering purpose must be understood as his steadfast love for us, as those for whom he would die. And as I said at the start, this needs to be our mission statement as well. It may sound strange for us to say it as well, but we need to say each day, I am going away. Imagine that you're meeting someone for the first time and getting to know them, or suppose perhaps you're in a job interview and someone says to you, so tell me something about yourself. And imagine saying in reply, well, let me see, I'm going away. That may sound like a strange response, but it really is our mission as followers of Christ. And even though we may not actually answer with these words, yet these are the words that should describe our mindset, our attitude, and the focus of our lives. Every day our focus should be that we are going away. Our aim should be to follow Christ, and we ought to start each day saying at least to ourselves, I am going away. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, there are some people who don't care for that song because it doesn't seem to connect us to this world enough. And we can understand that concern and even share it. And we really should make the important clarification that just as Jesus didn't just walk into Jerusalem and say, okay, here I am, put me to death. But so the point for us is not just to lay down and die. The point is not that we should neglect to live in this world. We have work to do here. And as long as we are here, we need to be busy about our work. But even as we do our work, we need to do it for Christ. And I'm not just speaking metaphorically. This is not just spiritualese, spiritual language that sounds clever but means little. Working for Christ is indeed our mission in life. Working for Christ is part of our going away, because we're not working to just build a prestigious career. We're not working just to earn a bunch of money. Prestige may or may not come. Money is needed, but shouldn't be our focus. The point is that we are going away. And whatever we do in life should be done in that light. It should be done for Christ. It should be done as we are following Christ, depending upon Him, seeking to be His students, and imitating Him in our lives. Well, in verse 23 of our text, Jesus said to the Pharisees, then, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And by these words, surely Jesus was explaining what it means that he was going away. And so we need to remind ourselves that as we follow Christ, we are not of this world. Philippians 3:21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And again, does this mean that we shouldn't fly our flags and celebrate the 4th of July this year? No, but our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, Paul even says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And in Philippians 3, 21, he teaches us that our citizenship is in heaven. So we can take these words of Jesus as our own. I am from above. Before the foundations of the world, I am from above. I am not of this world. How often don't we hear in Scripture that we are pilgrims, sojourners in this world? Psalm 39, verse 12 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers." Psalm 119, verse 19 says, "I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me." 1 Peter 2, verse 11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul." So we are disciples of Christ and those who are going away. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims on this earth, following Christ in order to be with Him in heaven one day. Again, if there are any here this morning who have not set their hearts on pilgrimage through this world, if we would live for this world and for our sinful pleasure in it, then let us hear this second point then very clearly. The second point this morning is the warning of death for sin. The warning of death for sin. Again, verse 21, or in verse 21, Jesus said, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin." And in verse 24, Jesus repeated the warning, "I told you that you would die in your sin, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Well, death in general is not something we care to focus on. We only think about it when we have to, and maybe even now your thoughts are going elsewhere because the subject of death has come up. And when we're young and strong, we, in a sense, don't have to think about it, do we? But the warning is clear in Scripture, and not just in this one passage. In Genesis 2:16, Scripture says foundationally, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Here, as I said, is the foundation of the understanding that death is the result of sin. And without this teaching, how are we given to think? How often don't we hear about the cycle of life? Death is just a natural stage of life. Everyone has to die one day. But what does God's Word say about death? Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." James 1:15 says, "Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." And again in John 8, Jesus said, "You will die in your sin." And He wasn't just talking to those pesky Pharisees. This is true of all people, including us. So sin is a problem, but not just because sin makes us unhappy or makes somebody else unhappy. Sin earns us death. The wages of sin is death. Well, here too we need a clarification. The point is not that every time someone dies, it's because God is putting that person to death for some specific sin in their life. When someone dies, we don't say, "Well, I wonder what they did. I guess God finally ran out of patience for him or her." We need to understand that sin is not even just the things that we do in disobedience. Sin is the condition in which we are born as offspring of Adam. God said to Adam, in the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. He ate. And so we die. We die not as the punishment for some sin that finally pushes the patience of God beyond limit. We die because of the condition of sin in which we were born and out of which we commit sins. And that, of course, is why infants die. It's interesting that in John 8, Jesus said twice, you will die in your sin. But the first time, in verse 21, he said, you will die in your sin. While the second, in verse 24, he said, you will die in your sins. So first in the singular, sin, and the second time in the plural, sins. And quite often when Scripture speaks of sin, it doesn't just mean a single act of disobedience against the law of God. It means the condition of sin in which we are born. Psalm 51 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And that's a reference to the condition of sin in which we are born. So it's not that every time someone dies, God is putting them to death for some specific sin in their life. But indeed, each time we sin, we are reminded that we were born in sin and that the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus not only gave the warning of death for sin, he also said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. There is hope. There's a problem with sin, and it's not just unhappiness. The problem is death. So there's a very serious problem with sin, but there is a glorious solution as well. And his name is Jesus. So let's finish this morning with this third point. Faith now in Christ the I Am. Faith now in Christ the I Am. And remember that we're taking the word now from 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But we're also finding it in the words of Jesus in John 8 when he says, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Of course, we can't hear the tone of Jesus when he spoke these words, but do they not ring with urgency? We need to feel that urgency. And he goes on to say, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And none of us knows the day of our death. So the day of salvation needs to be now. We must repent and believe in Jesus today. And of course, to believe in Christ, we must know who he is. And that's why this third point is faith now in Christ the I Am. And I want you to notice that twice in this passage, Jesus said, I am he. In verse 24, he said, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Again, in verse 28, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And what we need to see, which we can't see by our English translation, but what we need to understand is that in both cases, the pronoun he is not actually in the original language. In the Greek, it's just ego eimi. I am. So in verse 24, it's unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And in verse 28, it's then you will know that I am. And the significance of Jesus saying of himself, I am, is the claim to be God. And by way of comparison, if we look to the end of the chapter, in John 8:58, if you have your text open, you can look there, John 8:58, we see another reference to Jesus saying, ego eimi, I am, but here the pronoun he is not provided. It's a translator's choice. But here Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And the reason they picked up stones at this point to throw at him was because they understood what we must understand. He was claiming to be God. By the third time, in verse 58, they had heard enough and they were prepared to stone him for his blasphemy. But it wasn't blasphemy if it was true. If he really was and is God. And that, in fact, is the teaching of Scripture, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God in our own flesh, the divine Son of God, who came into this world in order to go away. As soon as he was born in our flesh, he was going away. And throughout his ministry, he made it clear that he was going away, that he would be lifted up on the cross. And he said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. That I am he. So here is your Savior. And unless you believe in him, you will die in your sin. Unless you believe that he is the I am, that he is God himself, and that he went to the cross for you, for your sins, you will die in your sins. But if we put our faith in him this morning, then this will be the day of salvation for us. And not just May 6, 2012, but a day of salvation in which to live every day. As we put our faith in Christ this morning, we become pilgrims through this world with our citizenship in heaven. With Christ as our Savior, we don't have to live in desperation. We don't have to grab and hold on to everything now, only to have it all left behind in the end. With Christ as our Savior, we have the forgiveness of sin and the riches of heaven kept in store for us. And so we end as the text ends. Verse 30 says that even as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So let us be added to the many. Shall we? Let us be added to the many. Let us believe in him as well. Amen.